Season 2, Episode 45. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our players.
Hi, my name's Molly, and I play Eden, the noble human sorceress slash wizard.
Hello, I'm Alex, and I play Dupe, the dwarf fighter.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I play Galena, the dwarven bard.
And my name is Winter, and I play the elf druid Sariel.
And Mark will not be with us today. He has real-life business to attend to. Last time on Sometimes Heroes, y'all got out of the temple. You got spooked by a Durgan, and then you scooted away, leaving the guards that you spared in an alleyway with their memories intact but covered in booze and injuries, and went back to your apartment to find that Sten had been turned into a lantern. The last thing that happened, there was a tableau established. Lori went to go cover the door. Odette went out to drink. Connor is currently unconscious with a bucket next to him on a bench. And Oost left the building, so far as you guys can tell.
I'm already composing a song about how Sten is now a lantern.
I believe we left Galena as she was looking through Sten's backpack. You notice that one thing is missing.
What's missing?
The scroll that he showed you guys earlier and said when you guys asked who has a scroll and he said, I have a scroll. That scroll is gone.
What was special about that scroll again?
I don't believe if you know in character, but I'm just going to say that information was exchanged at that point. You know that that was his direct line to Grago Blackmoon.
Okay. I relay this information to everyone else. I say, Sten's scroll is missing. The one I think that he talked to his orc bro with.
Also, in other news, his spooky sword hilt is still wrapped up in the blankets, and there is still a lantern on the ground.
Galena gives the sword a side eye and just mutters, bitch. And she carefully sits by the lantern and, like, looks at it closely.
Inside are flames, seemingly erupting from nothing, just sort of perpetuating themselves without a wick or fuel.
Hot.
Yeah, pretty much. There are still 5 dead men in the room, exsanguinated to some degree.
I think Galena would prefer Sten with his wick, though.
Gosh, all right. What are the rest of you up to?
I'm still deaf, aren't I?
Yeah, you've got more tinnitus than deafness at the moment.
Oh. Galena's just gesturing towards... I say tinnitus.
Yeah, I should know this. I'm in an audiology speech-language pathology program.
For shame.
I know.
I say tinnitus, you'd say tinnitus. She gestures towards the lantern. And then she also says everybody else's name. Whoever's there, which is Winter and Eden. Winter, Eden.
Winter and
Eden. You mean Sariel and Eden?
Oops. Sorry. It's been too long. Sariel, Eden. And then she looks at Sariel and she points at the lantern and her eyes get really big and she goes, why? Because Sariel has all answers.
At Roll the moment, Arcana. The only thing Sariel has is booze.
Same.
Sariel just takes a long sip and looks at you the whole time.
Why? Why? Eden? Why?
I wish I knew. Well, we've gotten out of stickier situations than this. You know, I mean, haven't we all been turned into something weird by this point? She thinks back on it. Maybe it hasn't really been everybody.
Have you? Because I got turned into a frog. Toad.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything quite that intense.
You like feel your arm and you have scales.
Right.
Well, there is that, but that's different.
Yes, you were always kind of that. You just didn't know.
And Sariel can just turn herself into stuff. What about you, Dupe? Have you ever turned into anything weird?
No.
Okay.
Well, there's time to fix that.
Little words.
Uh-oh. I mean, yes.
What would you want to turn into if you could turn into anything?
A dead Dupe?
What?
That's
well,
Grimio.
There's time for that.
Are you okay?
No, not really.
We are standing in a room surrounded by dead people.
Other than that.
I don't know. I saw my brother when we were in the temple. Now I miss him. More than, like, 20 minutes ago.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Glenna starts to tear up, but then if you wipes her tears away and pretends like she wasn't. And she's just like, I'm sorry. She misses her family too, but she doesn't know how to say it.
Oh, teens.
And they're not dead, so.
Eden, you can actually feel Eve getting a lot closer.
Remind me? where she was or what she was. Oh, sorry. Hang on. Wait, are there any windows?
There is. There's a big window on, this is not the street side of the inn. It's more of the alley side. There's a window that looks down into an alley.
Whatever. I go open the nearest window.
Pretty much immediately, a burb owl flies in and just
hooray!
Lands on your shoulder and immediately cuddles up in your hair.
Yay! I missed you!
Followed by a large orc who sort of swings through the window and clomps down into the room.
How big is this window?
Like 4 feet high, 3 or 4 feet wide as well.
Goodness, that is large.
Two big panes, you like opened it up in the middle kind of thing.
Cool.
This is a fancy inn you guys are in. This orc lands on the ground, stands up, looks around, realizes that there are 5 dead bodies, and says, is this a bad time? Should I leave?
No, you're fine. It's a long story.
Oh, okay. Do you want me to tell you what I saw?
Yes, please.
Well, I flew above the city. There's a bunch of dig sites outside the city, and I think some dig sites inside the city. Like, people were going into buildings with, like, picks and shovels and stuff. But it seems like there's a big circle around the city where they're kind of digging, like, a trench and filling it with something.
Could you tell what they were filling it with?
Big barrels of sparkle powder.
Oh boy.
But there was also a bunch of, like, people drawing lines with it out there.
What kind of lines?
Spooky magic ones.
Right. As in drawing runes on the ground, or as in drawing a pathway to somewhere?
Definitely runes. Also, I saw your bro, I think. He was the one in the tower. And there's some lady with him who had, like, super white skin and horns and black hair.
Mostly out of character question, this would be Kui?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. Well, this just gets more and more interesting.
Also, how are you going to explain all the dead people in this room?
An excellent question. Spontaneous combustion?
That seems great, but I probably shouldn't be here for that. Maybe I should go back out the window.
Cardiac arrest.
Yes. Hi. All hello. At the same time. I definitely didn't kick my keyboard. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Streetmate looks very uncomfortable with the idea of being in this room, kind of cornered in a building with all these dead folk.
Surrounded by dead bodies.
If you need to leave, we completely understand if you don't want to be around anymore, because we understand. Just go.
Oh, I would like to go, but I am me in a city that wants to murder me.
Sariel is already kind of mentally going through her magic reserves as I, in character, bring up my spells.
All right, are we going to turn him into an animal, or are we going to invisible him? Because I can do the latter.
It's probably simplest just to make him a burb again, and then he can just fly out. Yee, I can do that.
He looks psyched. Fly, ah, ha, 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 ha. He smiles a big, tusky smile, and he's like, by the way, the most fun I've ever had.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
No. Okay, so Sariel will polymorph him into a hawk.
Before you do this, he looks around. Hey, where's Sten?
Oh, he's here.
Igalena points at the lantern.
You can say hi if you want.
He looks down at the lantern, and he's like,
It's been a really, really weird night.
I'm gonna say this is breach of contract.
Pardon?
I mean, unless you want me to take him with me. I mean, if you want to keep him, that's cool. But he's not a... He's not a person anymore?
And well, he was never a person.
Wait, what?
Whoa. He was a humanoid species.
Eden, no!
Excuse me!
I don't mean to be a smartass. No.
I am a person. You're a human. I'm an orc. We're both people.
No, I'm sorry.
I'm a dwarf.
It was a really lame joke. All right, I'm going to let you talk.
Streetmate looks super offended.
So much as his personhood was called
into question.
Somebody else should probably, I'm going to just take a few large steps back towards the wall and away from Streetmate and just maybe let somebody else talk a little bit.
Yelena laughs, like, does that, ah ha 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 ha. You know, we keep her around for her looks.
Oh no!
She winks at Eden. But not okay. in a flirty way, in a I'm joking way.
Sariel knocks back what's left of her drink.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, Street Meat is like, yeah, sure, cast the thing on me. If you need me, I'll be in the third line camp.
Hang on. You might want to look for Oost. She left.
Oh, really? Well, I'll have how long as a bird? As much as last time?
Yes.
Okay, I'll see if I can find her. Did she just leave?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll keep a lookout. I'll send somebody to tell you if I see her.
Okay.
While they're kind of talking about that, Elena's going to check on Connor and try to revive him.
Okay, so Street Meat turns into a burb. What kind of burb does he turn into?
Oh, a hawk. A red-tailed hawk.
Okay. He hops up onto the windowsill and at you and then hard flaps into the night, which is looking like it will be morning in like 4 hours. So he has to like really hard flap because hawks are more like day, hot streets, ride the thermals up kind of burbs.
I have faith in his abilities.
Mm-hmm. But he leaves, scoots off into the night out the window, and you guys are left in the room. Galena, you step outside and go up to Connor. I want you to roll a medicine check to see if you can get this magey boy back on his feet.
Galena rolled an 18 medicine.
Connor is conscious, but Connor has one level of exhaustion, as basically he is still pretty drunk. And as you do some smelling salts and other sorts of forced hydration, he is up, but a little wavery. Hey!
Hey, what's up? How you feeling?
I don't know. My head hurts a lot. How are you feeling?
Let's say I've been better. Did you notice anything or see anything weird tonight or anything stand out to you?
The night's really fuzzy. I know that Odette carried me home. That was nice. She's strong.
Yes, she is strong.
Strong she hands. Is.
Calm down, buddy.
So guys, as I see it, you have some immediate things to deal with. Currently, you are in a very nice inn with a bunch of dead bodies. Lori is kind of distracting the barkeep, so he does not come down this way, just at the bar talking to him with Odette. I mean, Odette's just drinking, but Lori is talking to the barkeep.
Throw the bodies out the window into the alleyway.
Okay.
Wait, no! Great idea!
I think even medieval CSI might figure that out. There are 5 bodies piled up beneath a window. Where did they come from?
Throw them out the window of a different room?
And then light them on fire.
Ingenious. So you guys start dragging them to another room?
No.
Hang on, I'm trying to figure out if there's a spell I can use that can help. Okay, Mage Hand can't help. Dang it, Catapult can't help either. I was really... looking
both
forward
of those
to trying
can
that.
Definitely help.
I can only carry light objects.
Darn.
With those.
This episode brought to you by the party's rapidly shifting alignment.
Luckily, Guige, quote, isn't here, so you guys can be as horrible as you want to, and he can't lose his paladin hood.
Hooray!
Sounds like more dismemberment is coming.
Oh no.
So that Eden can handle the light objects.
Oh, not just put them on the roof over there. Hope nobody notices the floating arms through the night.
That happens, maybe.
It's a wild town.
It is pretty wild town. Speaking of which, Galena, have you just woken Connor up, or have you like brought him into the room?
I brought him into the room.
Yeah, as Connor gets into the room, he has been holding the bucket that was next to him and just pukes into it as he sees all the dead bodies.
Oh no.
Well, we could take the bodies outside and burn them, although we'd have to take them far. Otherwise, the smell and the smoke is going to attract attention.
Connor finishes throwing up and says, and they would notice a fire wherever it is because it's the middle of the night, especially if it's in the city.
Right. Oh man, this is bad.
Why can't we call the police people?
We could tell them. Did you kill these guys? He points down at the ground.
We had nothing to do with this. I'm being serious and honest.
He looks incredulous at you, but nods.
Nothing, Connor, nothing. We wouldn't hurt anyone. Not even you. Her eyes get really wide.
He looks at you and looks back down the hallway and can see, like, in the common room, the bartender talking to the two ladies over there. It's only a matter of time before he comes and, like, does his rounds. He's gonna notice.
Okay, I think our only option is to flee the scene and pretend we have no idea what happened here.
We could do that.
No!
Sariel kind of, like, drunkenly holds a finger up.
Sariel!
And then just kind of nods.
What?
No, she has a point. Like, we don't really need to dispose of the bodies. We legitimately haven't done anything wrong. But if we try to explain our case, we're probably going to be detained at least for a little while and have to answer questions.
I don't want to answer questions.
What would the alternative be, I guess, to those two options? I mean, Galena, if you have any better ideas, believe me, I am all ears. I would love to hear them. No sarcasm.
Write an anonymous note.
Okay, would that be...
Dear sir or madam, there are a bunch of dead bodies in room 132B.
Would that be in conjunction with the fleeing part?
I would assume so. Also, I'm assuming you gave this innkeeper your actual name, Eden.
Yeah.
Why don't we flee to your brother and... I don't know. Galena throws her hands in the air. Sten's a lantern. Dupe can't hear. Connor's drunk. Sariel's drunk.
Yeah, everyone stop drinking.
Mark is being oddly quiet.
You mean Geesh?
I mean Geesh.
Who is Mark?
Geesh is being oddly quiet. I'm just a small town dwarf in a lonely... I don't know.
Connor.
I took a midnight boat to anywhere.
Are you just a small town girl living in a lonely wharf?
Yes.
I mean, to be fair, we could probably just bribe somebody. Maybe.
To what?
Get rid of these bodies for you?
Not call the town guard on us. Maybe.
To just let it go?
Look, who hasn't had a crazy night out and then had a bunch of dead mercenaries in their room once or twice?
That is fair enough.
So, is that the plan?
We really legitimately haven't done anything wrong. Like, Eden can just be like, I leave for like 5 minutes and I come back and my room is full of dead people. What kind of an establishment are you running?
Yeah, you bitch. Oh, you can make them feel guilty about this.
Leave a bad Yelp review for us. Great. So I'm going to say that as you look out into the hallway, you see that Lorien has basically moved away from the bar and is now standing in the way of the barkeeper, who is, like, holding keys. And like, I gotta go on my rounds. It's been really nice talking to you, is loudly trying to get by her.
Oh, good. Now James is gonna force us to do something.
I know. It's almost like you're delaying and hoping I won't make anything bad happen to you.
It's almost like I have no idea what to do, because it seems like every option we have is a bad one and is going to lead to bad things.
No, it's fine. We'll just roll with it. And the roles will be terrible. It'll be hilarious.
Okay.
Eden, time to be a piss noble. Who left these dead people in your room?
All right. I'm ready. I'm flexing. I'm getting ready. I can do this.
So as Eden is like rolling her neck, cracking her knuckles, and like doing some me-me-me-me's.
Me-me-me-me!
What are the rest of you doing? How are you setting up to make her pissed noble scene reliable instead of like being a bunch of people who just looted this room?
We haven't looted anything. It's our room, probably.
Yeah, but do you all want to be standing there having investigated the bodies when they come in? Or do you want to set up a scene so they see something specific when they come in?
Didn't we have multiple rooms?
Yeah, so you could have only Eden be in there, conceivably.
We should probably have some people to back Eden up, but maybe not all of us. Who is it right now? It's
everyone. Besides, yeah. Odette and Lori and Oost and Street Meat.
Connor can probably go be drunk somewhere else.
Connor, go be drunk somewhere else.
He puts one finger up and then just leaves. Steps into another room and you hear like a flump onto a mattress.
Boy, I like to watch him walk away.
Oh boy.
Galena shrugs. Wow. You more though, Dupe.
Oh jeez.
That's right.
Dupe's gonna start drinking and go join Connor.
No!
Oh, yeah, someone should probably go with the lantern. Like, the obviously cursed lantern should probably not be in the room.
Oh, yeah, someone, nothing, don't let anything happen to that lantern.
Do you want to take the lantern?
I guess so.
All right.
I'll take the Sten lantern, and also my dwarven ale.
If you're going to take the Sten lantern, please don't Please stay sober. It's breakable, I assume.
Oh. You actually know that that is not true. Magic items are very difficult to break, which is the problem with Sten's sword initially.
Oh, well, in that case, get as drunk as you want.
No.
Oh, hell yes.
I wonder what would happen if you put alcohol on the fire.
Don't wonder that.
On the lantern fire?
I can try.
No.
Don't. Not right now.
All right. I'll restrain myself.
I'm assuming you're going into the same room as Connor, just across the hallway.
Yeah, I'll make sure that guy doesn't choke on his own vomit.
He's, like, good plan. Collapsed on the bed, face down, kind of half off the mattress.
I will be a responsible helper and put him on his side.
Very good. Okay, what are the rest of you doing? Where do you want Geesh to go? What are Galena and Sariel doing? Because Eden's getting ready to be offended.
I thought Geesh wasn't here.
Geesh is here. He's just
strangely
he's just
silent.
Ultra susceptible to opinion.
Finally. No.
Yeah, for once. That's new. That's a change.
Just because he shows up every time, doesn't mean.
Hey, Geesh, skip around in a circle.
Geesh looks at you, annoyed through the blindfold, and is picking up the mushrooms and putting them in the box.
I'll be Eden's hype girl for when she's being offended.
Okay, so you're being Eden's backup and Sariel?
Yeah.
Sariel, roll a con save real quick, because you've been talking about how you've been drinking. I want to know if you're actually drunk or if you've been drinking.
No. Here we go.
We're
good
looking
luck
for a 10.
This is where it starts.
Oh, Sariel is
oh,
fucking
no.
Yes!
White girl wasted.
Yes!
Sariel rolled a 1, a natural 1, a critical fail on that constitution save.
So it was
Sariel
fate.
Sariel is white girl wasted, like she says. She tries to get up and just like slumps against the wall and, and slides down it and says something rude. What is it?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know.
I can give you some inspiration from the high school boys I was tutoring this evening.
Oh no.
Ooh, do it.
So basically at the tutoring club, we're letting students vote on what our elf on the shelf should be named, because apparently every year they have an elf on the shelf and it changes positions every day, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, and these boys were suggesting names that I had to look up on Urban Dictionary.
Oh,
names
no.
Like Ligma. There was one that started
Magma?
With an S.
Smegma?
No, it was Segundese. So, like, it kind of sounds like the word second with E's at the end. And then apparently Imagine Dragons has another meaning.
What does that mean?
Like, if someone were to say, have you heard of the band Imagine Dragons? And you would give a stupid reply like, imagine these nuts dragging across your face, boy. Like,
okay.
Keep in mind, these are 10th grade boys.
So classy.
That's literally what Winter says. Like, no.
D's nuts.
That's literally what Sariel says. Imagine dragons. So yeah.
All right.
Had I passed that, Sariel would have tried to have taken the position of like explaining, you know, what magical shenanigans might have gotten on here to lend an air of legitimacy to what is going on. Because legitimately,
great.
We didn't do anything. But now that she's wasted, she's just going to fumble that horribly.
So once this guy gets in here and you were trying to talk to him, Sariel is going to be flailing around on the floor trying to explain what magical shenanigans happened in here. But basically just sounding like a drunk asshole. And is going to give you disadvantage on whatever you try to do.
Good. Out of character, I want to say you can probably try to play it off like, yes, powerful magics have affected my friend. Just ignore her.
She was so alarmed that she drank herself into oblivion.
Powerful spirits kicks the vodka under the table.
Okay, so as you guys are prepping, is there anything you want to do with Geesh? Or do you want him to just be out of the way?
Geesh, you walk away too. I'll watch you walk away.
Geesh sets up in the other room. Dupe, you see him, like, sword out, ready to bust into the hallway if things go wrong.
Man, am I going to have to kill that innkeeper?
Maybe. I don't know.
No!
Doubtful. We're trying to avoid that.
But you guys hear Lori, like, loudly, clearly, low-key warning you that she's coming, talking louder at the innkeeper as he walks down the hallway, and he's like, you should probably keep your voice down. I think some people are sleeping in here.
Eden's going to let out a blood-curdling scream.
Nice. You let out a blood-curdling scream, and you hear a flurry of steps as Lori and the barkeep, the innkeeper, rush down the hallway, and you hear fiddling with keys outside, and the door slams open, revealing the scene. Lay it out for me, ladies. How does it look?
Galena is fanning Eden.
Eden is trying to look as horrified as possible, jaw wide open, a little bit of shaking to try to make it seem authentic, maybe some tears welling up in the eyes a bit, and we'll turn to the innkeeper. What is Lady the Milan. Meaning of this?
Lady Milan, we will make this right. Don't worry. Everything will be okay. They will attend to your every need.
No, this is not okay. What is the meaning of this?
What happened in here? Are you okay, Lady Milan? Goodness.
I should not.
Is she okay? Is she okay? Look at her.
When I am staying at an establishment, I should not have to worry about finding dead bodies in my room.
Can I roll performance for dramatic performing?
So I want you to roll a performance to aid, or actually a deception to aid Eden's performance.
Why not? Okay, fine.
If you succeed, she's rolling regular because currently Sariel just like leaned on a dead body and is like just looking
Mom's
around.
Let me tell you.
All right. Yes. Okay, I rolled a 26 in deception.
Woo! All right, Eden. Roll regular performance to be the distressed noble.
Galena goes up to the innkeeper and is like, "Sir, does she look all right? There Ooh. Needs to be some sort of compensation for this. This outrage."
Eden rolled 23 in performance.
Nice. The innkeeper is sufficiently distressed and immediately ushers you out of this dangerous room and calls over some servants that have been sort of lurking in the kitchens, probably just like cleaning dishes and stuff, but he drags them out and gets them to carry Sariel out.
Excellent. Ooh, okay, perfect.
He immediately brings you over to the fire and sits you down and puts like a blanket around you and gives you a soothing beverage and is talking about how he will make this right.
Thank you. You've been so kind. This is very hard. This is so
very
traumatic.
Hard.
I don't know how I'll recover from this.
How will she recover? Sorry.
Galena, as you are leaving the room, as you are being ushered out behind Eden, because like they aren't really paying attention to you because you're on your feet. One of the boys who comes in to help, his gaze drifts over to the bed. And he, in a daze, walks over and is looking at the sword.
Yo, don't touch that.
He goes, okay. And he just closes his eyes, shakes his head, and goes back to helping Sariel.
That was easy.
STDs, leave it alone.
So all of you, meaning Dupe, in the other room, hear the hubbub go back to the common room. And you can hear very clearly that they are, like, calling the guard and arranging for Eden to have new apartments in a nearby inn that will be of equal or better station that he will, of course, compensate her for.
Can I go back to the room and, like, wrap up the hilt? Take it?
Absolutely. That's not something hard to do. You go do that. Behind the innkeeper, you can see Lori barely holding on to herself. Because she thinks this is hilarious, how badly you are conning this guy. But very shortly, the guard appears. And among the guard are some familiar symbols. You see a bunch of guardsmen, just the normal ones you see in the city. But you also see maybe 4 or 5 Searing Rose paladins who...
I see them?
Everyone sees them. I'm assuming you guys are, once you get situated, abandon the rooms and end up in the common room, unless you don't want to.
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah, that's fine.
The Searing Rose paladins pile on back into the back area. What do you guys do? Because you're kind of on a crime scene now with the modern equivalent of the police surrounding you and giving you comfort blankets.
But they're not questioning us?
They are. The sergeant in charge of the night shift guard is sort of being pushed away by the innkeeper, who doesn't want to piss you off, doesn't want to get a bad review, but he is trying to ask you questions of what happened. Is there anything you want to tell him?
Out of character, did you watch Breaking Bad, or have you seen Breaking Bad?
Mm-hmm.
I promise I have a point. Do you remember the episode where, spoiler, Jane dies?
Remind me who Jane is.
Jane is Jesse's girlfriend. She's played by Jessica Jones. Oh, yeah.
That was very sad.
She always played characters like that until... No, I'm thinking of everyone else who's pale and black-haired.
Well, anyway, so in that episode, Mike, the cop turned private investigator working for crooked drug dealers, basically comes in and helps Jesse clean up his apartment because she died after choking on her own vomit after doing heroin. And Mike tells Jesse to say, I woke up, I found her like this, I don't know anything else. So basically, that is kind of Eden's strategy here. Basically saying, I came in, I found the room like this, I don't know anything else.
The sergeant seems pretty mollified with this. He goes down the hallway as well, and you can hear them, the Searing Rose Paladins, say they can feel some demonic influence around here.
Oh, that's convenient.
But you, as a noble, know without any role or anything, like, because there's demonic influence, they're going to come back and want to know what you know about that. And they are probably going to put you in a zone of truth.
Damn it! Okay, crap. I gotta get out of here. I mean, maybe not right this second, but basically at the first reasonable opportunity.
Well, currently you are not being held in place or anything. Do you want to try to hysterically leave?
Well, I was thinking more like quietly leave?
Sure.
If anyone stops me, I'm just going to play the, I need some air, I'm so upset card. I'm going to, as if it's no big deal, and I know exactly what I'm doing and where I'm going, just get up and walk towards the nearest exit.
All right. You guys had some pretty dang high deception and performance rolls, despite having disadvantage from Sariel. So I'm going to say you're able to just roll on with those. And you exclaim that you just can't be here anymore. And the party leaves. Before you leave, though, they ask where you are going to be next, so they can ask you any more questions. Where you are going tonight.
Well, what's the innkeeper's name?
What is the innkeeper's name? It has been a long time. Varric. Varric is the innkeeper's name.
Oh, well, Varric is going to help me make arrangements to find a more comfortable place to stay, but I don't know where that will be at this point. I mean, it really could be anywhere.
They turn and we'll inquire with Varric. We'll look for you wherever you end up, either in the palace or where Varric sets you up. Please be safe this evening, and your bodyguards as well.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much. You've been so helpful.
The guard sergeant nods to you and hurries off down the hallway again. And you guys step out onto the street in the middle of the night. Down the way, you can still see a hubbub down at the Unbreakable Temple. Beyond it, the castle. But above you, the stars twinkle in the night, beautifully shining.
Ooh.
Lori muffles a laugh and is now supporting Sariel. Says, I can't believe... Nobles get away with everything. How did you do that?
Lots of practice. But you're right, we do get away with everything. Although, honestly, even I'm a bit surprised that that worked as well as it did.
She looks around and sort of maneuvers you towards an alleyway. If you are willing, she pulls you into a huddle.
Sure.
So you sent me to get some information, and I found the middle children, and they have some reports. Do you want to hear them?
Sorry, who are the middle children?
The middle children are the spooks from a bunch of different countries that are sort of working in between all of them against bad stuff, so they say.
Great, two thumbs up.
Agent Kane, Agent Abel, the Bloodless Eye, Lori, and Inquisitor Grow were the middle children that you met.
Cool.
She pulls you into a circle in a nearby alleyway and whispers, so I spoke with the middle children, and Agent Kane had some good/suspicious news. Agent Abel had some bad/spooky news. And the Bloodless Eye had some capital N news. And Grow wasn't there, which is weird in and of itself. Which one do you want to hear first?
Kane's news, I suppose?
Good news, got it. By all accounts, the Wodenkirk logging camp is taking its reforestation duties very seriously and have poured a lot of money into doing it and are doing everything Archdruid Bronwyn says. She just pats Drunk Sariel on the chest while she says this.
Uh-huh.
And, and they haven't been making any preparations to do logging, which is the weird part, the suspicious part of that good news. What do you want next?
Abel?
So Abel had bad slash spooky news. In the Sanguine Fields south of here, it's these big farms. It's the breadbasket of Umbria. There's been a lot of restless dead issues. Skeletons, ghosts, and whatnot rising from the fields. Supposedly, it's because farmers have been like plowing up ancient battlefields, but they've been dealing with that issue for a long time, but it's never been this bad.
I see.
And the last piece of news is the Bloodless Eye said Kui is in town, which Street Meat said, so that's not really news, I guess. But the capital N news is the Empress has left High Seat. She's not in her capital anymore. We don't know where she is, though.
Wait, I thought Kui was the Empress, or she just a daughter?
Kui is the Empress's eldest daughter.
And sorry, repeat what you said about the Empress.
The Empress left High Seat, which is her seat of power. It's their capital. And she hasn't done that for like 150 years.
Sariel looks like legitimately alarmed by this and like seems like she might have sobered up for a minute. Like she stands up really straight and then she just kind of leans out of the circle and throws up.
Lori turns around and is just like rubbing Sariel's back and holding her hair out of her face.
Sariel will just sort of slur. That's big news.
Yes, it is very big news.
So, what are you guys going to do?
An excellent question.
Okay, so out of character, we know that they are filling trenches around the city with gunpowder and runes in that same sort of powder. Kui is making the rounds.
Things are going to go boom.
Things are going to go boom.
You guys, especially the magic ladies, would recognize that, like, it's not gunpowder, it's residuum. And two is, like,
well,
if they are actually pouring it, it's about to happen. Like, you don't want it getting
that?
Mixed up with dirt blowing away in the wind, what have you. Especially if they're just pouring it into trenches.
Great. Okay, we may need to get moving. We might need to prevent something really, really bad from happening. Sariel, sober up.
Can I roll medicine and sober her up?
That throwing up really helped, Sariel. Like, you haven't had a lot of time to absorb. So you've got a second wind. You're only uncomfortably drunk now, not trash drunk.
I'm going to be able to walk in a minute or here too.
Straight lines are still beyond you, but walking is a thing that you are capable of.
Let's go. Let's stop.
Are we good? Is everybody good? Is everyone sober Heroes. Enough to move?
Yep.
Where does the Lady Milan, where would the Lady Milan like to go? Where are we going?
To the border.
Which town border? You're in the center of town.
Oh, God. Okay. Crap.
Let me open up the map for you. Street Meat said her brother was-ish?
In the tower, where you found him before.
Okay.
With Kui.
So, you can see the map now. Based on Street Meat's general description, you know that there is a rough circle outside the city. The city's kind of oblong, so in some places pretty far away from the walls, and some places pretty close to the walls, a trench being dug, and then up to the city walls there's some little trenches being dug that are some sort of spooky pattern, according to him.
Didn't he imply that it was happening basically all around outside the town gates, or did I misunderstand?
All around the entire town.
All right, well, in that case, let's get to the closest border, which looks like would be south of here, past the Unbreakable Temple.
Yeah, that would be a good way to go. So you guys go through the alleyways towards the wall. Do you want to go through the gate or do you want to get up onto the wall?
Let's get up onto the wall.
You get up onto the wall and there are sentries here who are up and down the wall posted looking out. So they don't seem to notice you right away. But you know that if you stay up here for more than like a minute or two, you're going to get noticed. But pretty much immediately as you look out over the wall, you see a rough line of torches out there.
That's it?
It's dark. It's the middle of the night. You see darkness and a rough line of torches in a rough curvature around the city.
No people? No living things?
You assume those torches belong to people. They're just far away.
Oh, as opposed to being in the ground or something.
Yeah, they're moving around and they're in little clusters. It's like, you know, there's a couple people over there and a couple people over there, but like generally it's in a line, a curved line.
Okay, I would like to send Eve quickly over there and use her sight to get a little more recon with, or do a little more recon without getting too physically close to them right now.
Okay. The rest of you, Eden goes kind of limp after giving you a, I'm going to go do a thing signal. Do you guys stay on the wall?
No, let's back off the wall.
You stealthily recede back into the alleyways. Eden, as Eve, you soar out past the wall through this this broken plane of glassy stone and shrub. Get out to where this line of people are, and it appears that the closest one is maybe 20 men. Most of them are digging, but one is clearly a supervisor who has a scroll. And someone is falling close behind him with a torch so he can see it and pointing at people and telling them to change small things. And there's also a bunch of carts with barrels that some people are pouring residuum into the trench. And as you're looking...
Sorry.
And as you were looking, basically like, this is approximately the quantity you would have specified if you did your math correctly for your brother.
Didn't I deliberately botch that?
You did. But he's had time since then.
Damn, is residuum liquid or powder?
It's powder.
Poo.
They appear to have also put some kind of mortar into the bottom, so they're not pouring it directly onto like dirt.
Well, wait, if what they're happened? Pouring it directly onto mortar, I mean, what good is that going to do?
Roll an arcana.
And I was going to ask either of you know what would happen if I mixed water with residuum.
Out of character, I don't know. Would Eden know that off the top of her head?
Oh yeah, it'd just be basically like residuum suspended in water. That is often a component in making potions, but other than that, it's not really used for anything.
Why do you ask?
So I can move it or make it unusable. I didn't know if that would make it unusable, but maybe I can scoop it up with some water and like take it away from where they're pouring it, where it's going. Or I can build like an ice wall around where it's heading to. I don't know.
If you were to wash parts of it away, it would certainly mess up portions of it.
Yeah. Galena looks at Eden and Sariel and
before
says,
you start declaring actions, Eden actually hasn't told you anything. You guys don't see anything.
Oh, also Eden rolled a 17 in Arcana.
The reason why they would pour it onto mortar, you think about it and you're like, that actually kind of makes things harder if they're trying to blow through something, which was your initial hypothesis. But then you think about it and you're like, if they want to do this later, if they want to have this set up at another time and they leave it in soft dirt and it rains or something, the residuum might get washed away or distributed in less concentrated form.
Okay.
And you suspect that they are actually going to put mortar over this after they finish filling it up.
I see.
So they have kind of like a hula hoop full of residuum underground.
Me, I want a hula hoop.
Please, Christmas, don't be late.
The Mariah Carey song was playing earlier in a store I was in, and I was like, no.
Terrible.
Why no?
I don't like that song. It's annoying to me. And I hear it too much. I'm also not a fan of romantic stuff.
So, Eden, you are in Eve's eyes. You have generalized control of her as she gently circles around this party unnoticed.
All right, so I guess if I've seen just about all I'm going to be able to see at this point, then I would encourage her to come back.
Okay. And she begins to head back, but your senses return to your body, and you see, you know, the edge of an alleyway as your party sort of surrounds you.
Are we in an alleyway?
They pulled you back off the wall because the sentries would have eventually noticed you and been like, why are you on the wall?
Oh, right. Swell plan. All right, well, I want to relay to everyone what I saw and what I interpret it to mean.
Okay. You convey all the information you have.
Did she happen to catch sight of any of the runes?
Oh, damn it, that's a good question. Would I have recognized any of the runes, or would I have had time to notice any of them?
Yes. You realized, much like the problem you were having in the other times you've noticed, blueprints in Hamel's Crossroads and other things, is that you were like, this is a spell, and you were looking at 100th of it. And so you went out and saw a tiny portion of a much larger spell. Clearly, this is a massive spell circle. You saw a couple of runes back there, and divided from the larger whole, they don't mean a whole lot to you. But since you've been putting things together, you kind of recognize them because there are common containment patterns out there. And because of that, you suspect they are part of a summoning ritual.
Oh, God. Oh, no, I don't even... Who's being summoned? Oh, God, we're all going to die. All right, well, I think it's time to either flee or just go in guns blazing.
Guns blazing. Gotta save people, right?
Let's go fight the dragon.
Yes.
No, let's stop the residuum.
Let's get the dragon to stop the residuum.
Yes, let's be friends with the dragon. This is the best plan. Let's go. Let's do
yes.
it.
Yes. We can't summon Cthulhu if there's no city to summon Cthulhu.
You know, to be fair, we did kind of sort of think of that earlier, and I actually did sort of start the process of kind of trying to talk to the dragon, but it didn't really work out. Let's just say that I knew it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah, what you guys did to the dragon was play a screeching noise in its ear and then lie to it when it woke up and then ran away.
As my brother would say, well, f***.
Yeah.
Okay, so it looks like they're not going to blow this wide open, like, immediately, but pretty soon.
Well, let's f*** this shit up. Let's do it. Galena pulls out a ball of water from her canteen and splashes it from hand to hand like she's getting ready for some shit.
Lori just looks over you and is like, who are we f***ing up?
Everyone, wait. Let's do it. The residuum, let's do it.
Hang on, let's think about this. Before we go and just murderize a bunch of things and or people, I think...
I'm not going to kill anyone this time.
We always... We never plan on killing anybody, and yet somehow, so often, people just end up dead.
But if we leave, isn't everybody going to die?
Maybe?
So really, murder is saving lives.
Oh, no!
Yeah!
This episode Galena brought to you by our party's random, like, rapidly shifting alignment.
To the voice in her head is very wise. Murder saves lives.
Okay, I don't know how much good this is going to do, but I think maybe I should try talking to my brother one last time.
I agree. Let's go talk to him. He was hot, right? Yeah, he was hot.
I mean, I never really noticed.
I'm a teenage girl and I like boys.
So you do.
Boys are cute.
Oh, God.
I like boys and murder.
Any teenage girl's two favorite things.
And music. Yeah.
All right. So how are you getting to your brother? You know where he is, but currently it's the middle of the night and the castle is closed.
Well, I mean, I can fly there, but I'm not sure I'd want to go alone. I mean, even if I talked to him alone, if folks were, you know, close by in case something goes really wrong.
You know who else can fly there?
Santa Claus.
Not Galena.
I mean,
Jesus.
If I turn Galena into a bird, I'm sure our orc friend has gotten to where he needs to go by now, probably.
Hopefully.
Turn me into an otter.
Otters can't fly.
Don't quell my dreams. Oh, I have a plan. Let's go to where they're pouring in the residuum and throw back to earlier in this episode and let's poop in it and it will be defensive pooping.
Ugh.
I like my plan.
That'll be like it's the magicians who in the wellspring taint magic forever.
Would that make things worse?
Oh no. I honestly don't. You know what? Go for it. We'll see what happens.
Now is not the time to experiment.
So currently, Sariel, you just can sense what your magic is doing, and you sense that recently, in the last like 20 minutes or so, you are no longer having magic drawn from you, maintaining street meat as a burb.
Nice. Sweet. Time to burb somebody else up. I guess this is what we're doing. I was gonna ask if this is, if we're sure what this is what we want to do, but...
Wait, no, I am open. Trust me, I am always open to alternate ideas if you have any.
I had one.
Besides
we're not
that one.
Pooping in the magic.
Water splashing the magic around?
That wouldn't... Well, I mean, it might help a little bit, but there's no way you would be able to get all of it.
I have an idea. Turn me into a beaver and I can build dams in the residuum and stop it from being what it is.
We would need, like, a whole army of beavers.
Yes. That, yeah. That's her plan.
Saria looks like that's not gonna work, and then she stops and thinks for a minute, and she looks like she might be about to say something like, I can probably make that happen, and then she's just like, wait, no.
I hate to say it, guys, but maybe Gige was your only good idea, guy.
Wow. I don't think my idea is that bad.
Oh, no, I think talking to...
Yeah, no, because anything we do right now, right here, it stops them for, like, a hot 30 minutes.
At yeah, most.
Okay, so here's what to do, Galena says, with her hands up like she's getting ready to explain something very important. We should do that. We should do little annoying things, but we should do it stealthily and just keep doing it. Let's just, like, f*** things over for them, like, every 30 minutes until they get so frustrated they quit.
Oh, shit. It's actually starting to sound like a good idea now. Galena, that's so much work, though.
Very self-important. Yeah, but when has saving people not been so much work?
That's what we're doing, right? Saving people?
I want to put... Yes, probably. I want to put it out there that I don't think they'd quit since they're getting their orders from, like, a god empress. Like,
well, okay. They fair won't point. Quit, but at least we can delay the death of lots of people.
Connor drunkenly slurs. They have, like, I was up on the wall and I saw there's, like, 100 people, and that's only in, like, one quarter of the city, and they're all digging and doing stuff. So, like, we don't have enough people, but maybe if we could, like, low-key mess up one part and they don't know it's messed up, maybe that would do something.
Connor, yes, let's do it.
That's not a bad idea.
It actually isn't.
Let's do that thing.
Oh, I've got an addition to this plan. Let's high-key mess up another part while some of us are low-key messing up another part so they get distracted by the big mess up and don't even notice the smaller one even less.
Connor Galena gets really excited and tries to high-five you.
Galena tries to high-five him too and, like, moves her hand back and forth as his hand waves in front of her trying to make it to her hand.
Oh, he just slaps you in the face.
Like, Galena slaps him in the face back.
It's a farce. His was no malice, yours was full of malice.
Galena winks at him.
He doesn't see it. That's too small emotion for him to understand right now.
Is there still a crowd outside the temple?
Oh yeah, you can hear them cheering. They're all taking turns at the battering ram. It's actually, if anything, grown. It's gotten bigger.
Alright, who of us is more high key? I just realized we don't have a rogue.
Yep.
Wow, Iria.
Just blaming Iria. Just...
I mean, we did, but that was like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna say you're probably team high key, and I'll just go be a squirrel and be team low key.
I mean,
do you want to leave Drunken Squirrel to do this?
Someone should probably supervise me.
Eden can turn invisible and fly, so maybe she can low-key it up too.
Yes. However, for the record, I would still like to try to talk to Quinn at some point first.
Oh, yeah.
So what are you guys doing? Are you splitting up right now? Are you talking to Quinn first, or are you going and messing up stuff and then going to talk to Quinn?
I was going to go talk to Quinn first. If folks want to stay behind and sabotage some sheet, you have my full support.
Seems like Eden wants to go up and talk to her bro. Does anyone want to join her as backup? I think one person can be turned into a burb. And possibly, I don't know if you're high enough level for this, but you might be able to cast Fly on more than one person.
Let's see here.
Why is this called Head Scraper Ditch?
It's where all the dwarven inns are.
Oh, that's racist.
It is. It's speciesist.
Beautiful.
When you cast the spell using a spell slot of 4th level or higher, you can target one additional creature for each slot above level 3.
Okay, so you can cast it on... You have a level 4 spell still, or you can spend a bunch of sorcery points and get a level 5 spell and cast it on 3 people.
I suppose that depends on who is willing to come with me or who wants to come with me.
Sariel's gonna take a break from making dumb faces at Lorien when she hears about Eden maybe splitting the party, and she's like, wait, just let me go be a squirrel, and I'll just screw up like 2 of the runes, and then we'll go talk to your brother. And that way it can't explode when we're talking to your brother.
Okay, wait, you're right, that's probably the best way to go.
What's all this with the dumb faces at Lorien?
I want an entire episode of that, please.
Yeah. Let's
mildly,
derail this.
Just mildly sauced Sariel just turning into animals and flirting badly.
Oh, no!
Oh no, yes. Lorien turn. I mean, Lorien looks at you and you have like big ol' like squirrel teeth. You're just like smiling. And then you turn face. Away and you turn back and you have whiskers. And you turn away and you turn back and you're just like messing with her. All right, so it looks like Sariel is leading team sabotage and Eden is leading team family bonding. Who is in each team? Because I believe both of you can take some people with you.
I think you guys, team captain, should pick who's on their teams.
Uh-oh. This is where the clickiness of the game comes in.
I don't like mostly that idea.
I who's can't first decide. Pick? Who's the last person who doesn't get picked? Oh, probably Geesh.
Oh, no.
Only because he's not here.
Yeah, is there another, like, Paylor thingy that isn't in the temple somewhere around here?
There are probably a bunch of small shrines to Paylor around the city that are just, like, on the roadside, actually.
Is there one that's really close?
If there's something you want to do with it, for sure. There's just, like, a little tile roof thing at the edge of an alleyway with a small shrine inside it.
I want to hit it with the hammer again.
You just demolish a shrine.
Did I see Moop now?
Nope.
God damn it.
It shatters, and I want you to actually roll a d20. Roll above a 5. Just no modifiers. Luck check. As
no.
Duke just destroys your chance of being stealthy as he destroys a shrine in the middle of this town.
How do I just roll the d20? Oh, thank you. Apparently I rolled a 19.
So you just smash this thing. The hammer just rips through it. Nothing overtly magical happens, but you do make a lot of noise, but no one comes out of their houses to inspect what just happened to their shrine.
Well, there went my plan.
That was a plan?
I wanted to consult my brother.
Oh, ah, yes, right.
He did specifically say that he probably shouldn't encourage you to offend shrines.
But I was going to go to the real one, but there's a shitload of people over there.
Okay, let's get started on some sabotage.
Team captains, choose some peeps.
Well, I think we decided that we're going to try to do some sabotage before we do Operation Family Bonding.
I thought they were the same time.
Just to try to buy us a little more time.
I thought they were the same time.
That was the original plan. It changed.
So, assuming everything goes swimmingly and you are in and out as soon as possible, like, you could conceivably do both of these things, but if there are any hiccups, you probably won't get to family bonding until the morning and the city wakes up. So if that's okay with you, that's fine.
I'm okay with that.
All right. So you guys are in the city and the thing you want to get to is outside the city. How are you getting in there? Like last time, the gates are closed and the guards are skeptical as to why you want to go outside. Or you know they will be.
Can we jump the wall?
Conceivably.
I mean, I have no issue sneaking out because I can fly and get invisibleness. Get my invisibleness on.
Mm-hmm.
But
there are sometimes benefits to having less people on a stealth mission if you are not planning on fighting people.
Yeah, I really just need Umby Squirrel and Sariel just kind of drunkenly gestures. I need someone to look at the runes, I guess.
Okay, well, I think that should probably be me.
Geesh holds out some spores for you both to sniff Geesh, before you go.
I literally forgot that you existed.
Oh, no.
He's like, it'd probably help if you can talk to each other.
Yeah, that would be good. Be very good.
Wonderful. Snort that sheet.
You hear some squeaky
mushrooms.
Oh, my
gosh.
All right.
All right, so let's go do this.
A squirrel does not require a roll to scoot over the wall. It is somewhat harrowing to jump off the other side, but like you just straight face climb down. It's not a big deal. Eden, are you casting fly on yourself, or are you just walking out?
I'm casting invisibible on myself and walking.
The gates are closed, so it does involve some degree of walking up to the edge of the wall and like throwing a rope over the side.
Ugh, why is this so hard? Okay, looks like flying is the best option.
Okay.
Let's take off.
So Eden has a billow of wind around her and Superman's into the sky, into the beautiful night sky. And a squirrel scoots away, kind of like just weaving from side to side as it goes towards the wall.
One too many berries.
All right, so you guys both get over the wall, past the sentries. Eden, just by being too high up to be noticed in just blackness of the night.
I'm invisible.
Do you want to fly or be invisible?
I can't do both?
Nope. They're both concentration spells. I know. Sorry.
Okay. Well, for now, I guess I'll have to concentrate on flying.
Okay. And it's not hard to stay unseen as, like, it's nighttime. And it's only the one person who happens to be stargazing right as you fly over who might notice you. Which there aren't any at the moment. They all seem to be working hard.
Good for them.
You get to a section of this circle that's being cut into the ground. A lot of places it appears to be difficult, and there are actually a lot of dwarves here who are doing the lion's share of the work with specialized picks getting through the stony lava rock. What are you guys doing?
Let's lead a riot!
Luckily, Glenn isn't here.
Sariel just wants to alter one, maybe two of the runes.
So, yeah, let's locate some runes I can mess up.
So all these runes are actually like trenches dug into the ground, maybe 3 or 4 feet deep, and then they're being filled up with something. But you do find an area where they are just marked out and haven't been dug yet, and you could conceivably change them.
Let's
assuming
do
they
that.
Don't like they don't double check.
Can I change them to something harmless? Like, is there a rune that will make bubbles come out of the ground or something?
One of the main problems with this entire thing is you are changing a very small portion of a much larger spell. What you would...
Oh, that's right.
Likely doing...
We're misplacing the semicolon on a line of code.
Yeah, pretty much. That is the best metaphor. What you will do will either destabilize or just make the spell not work in the first place. Like, all the energy will just get wasted. Or right. Do something else entirely,
yeah.
Possibly.
Let's get wasted.
I already did that.
Yep. So, Eden, from above, you can see in several places that they haven't quite finished. They've gone and marked out the runes with chalk on the ground, but haven't actually dug there yet.
Okay, perfect. Let's, at the very least, try to mess up the markings, even just a little bit, or kind of rework them so that there's a bug in the code, so to speak.
Okay, what do you tell Squirrel Sariel to do as she's scurrying around beneath you and Eve is flying loose circles around you?
Do you have some chalk? I feel like Sariel would definitely have chalk, but Sariel is currently a rodent.
You are, but when you change back, you have all your stuff, so you could be a person in the darkness. Which would be more noticeable than a rodent in the darkness, but you could conceivably do things.
In my head, and I feel like in Drunk Sariel's brain, it is best to do this as an extremely sneaky squirrel.
All right. How are you doing this as an extremely sneaky squirrel?
With Eden's guidance, I can pat out portions of the rune. Ideally, not the whole rune, but pat out portions of the rune and redraw it. Maybe.
Okay.
That would be what I would propose.
So... Let's say, just for convenience's sake, is that Eden has some chalk and just drops it near you. And as a squirrel, you're just like digging up dirt up to cover up where the chalk is in some places kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. I want Eden to make an Arcana check to help squirrel athletics, because these runes aren't small. They're pretty big. And so it's one of those things that you have to like redraw, change this rune into something believable, but it's like 40 feet by 40 feet. Before the workers get here. So let's get a Arcana from Eden as you're looking down and telling her what to move and what to do, because it's hard for a squirrel to get like the lay of the land.
Okay, not bad. Eden rolled a 21 in Arcana.
All right, Drunk Sariel, roll a squirrel athletics at advantage.
Aw, yee.
As you push around a piece of chalk half the size of your body and dig up dirt onto various portions of powdered chalk.
Sariel squirrel rolled a 16 at advantage.
Okay, this specific rune that you change is one that is basically like a lock. What word do you want to change it to?
What word?
What meaning do you want to change it to?
Can it be anything?
Pretty much.
Null.
Null?
Null?
Fart.
No.
Small fart.
Yes.
Yes. I remember it from my days as a librarian in the ancient tomes, the small fart rune.
Pretty much. It's like the elemental plane of air connection to like toxins and small gateway, that rune. No, there's no rune that specific. Get a more general idea.
What, you mean fart is too specific?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because a fart is hot, it's air, it's smelly, it's a bunch of stuff.
So it's currently the concept a lot, like a
lock.
Lock. Okay.
Bubbles. Rainbow. Happiness.
I wonder money. If it would be enough just to change the room money. from lock to seal.
Lock and seal are pretty similar.
Aren't those synonyms?
Yeah, they're basically the same rune.
So, I mean, that would pass undetected, but would it be enough to misplace the semicolon?
I don't think it would change the meaning. I actually think they're the same rune.
They would probably be the same Arcane. Rune. Okay. Yee.
Light.
Light would be a thing?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay. You put the rune for radiance there and move back to your party. Eden just dropping out of the sky into the alleyway where the rest of you wait maybe 20 minutes. If there's anything you guys want to have done in the meantime, now's the time.
That went better than I expected.
Yeah, very sneaky. Much sneakier than going through the gate as a party of 8 and walking out.
It would have been fine.
And murdering a whole crew of diggers. So, Dupe, Galena, is there anything you guys wanted to do in the meantime? Wait stealthily in the darkness is an option.
Yeah, I want to talk to Dupe.
Oh, no.
Stealthily. Hi, Dupe.
No.
So,
did he answer your hello, Dupe, with no?
No. I said hello.
Oh, okay.
So you're sad. Do you want to talk about it?
No.
I'm going to cast heroism on Dupe.
Give him the strength to talk about his feelings.
Oh, I want to make him feel good.
What do you say to cast it?
I put my hand on his shoulder and I say, you have friends here, and I'm sure many of us can relate to losing someone we love. And if you want to talk about it, we're here for you. But if not, that's okay. But you are better off alive and with us. And then she awkwardly sings a short song.
So you cast heroism as a ritual.
Yeah.
Okay. You weren't afraid before, I assume.
No, not really.
Well, you're still not afraid of stuff, but you suddenly feel, like, pretty vigorous.
It makes him braver, too.
AKA stupider.
No.
Not always. I think we should go with the spirit of what she's trying to do, which is, in this moment where you can choose to make a wisdom save to resist this, but it's basically she is attempting to make you brave enough to expose your feelings to your comrades, these new goons that are hanging out with you.
Or, like, get over the whole, like, wanting to die thing mostly, because that's no bueno.
Yeah, or brave enough to face life that will shortly wear off.
How did we get out of the temple?
You can see through the walls. Like, the walls of the temple appear gaseous to you.
Oh, boy, but how did we leave?
You walked.
I don't remember this.
You walked out the back. There wasn't a door or anything. You just walked through the walls.
Oh. Can I walk back in that way?
You could. The temple's like a block away.
I'm going that way.
So as you do this, Dupe just stands up and starts marching back towards the Unbreakable Temple. Slightly aglow. What are you doing over there?
I want to go inside and hit the Palor statue with the hammer.
I'm just going to remind you. Your brother said this is not the way to contact me.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know how else to contact him.
Pray.
I don't know how to do that.
Ah, okay.
Right. At least I don't think I know how to do that. I've never done that before.
Dear sir and or madam, my name is Dupe. I need your assistance.
Geesh can help, I assume.
If he was here, definitely. Dupe, you go back into the temple. Galena possibly trailing behind, possibly not. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm just going to make sure he's not going to do anything stupid.
Okay, you walk into the temple. You pick Gotslayer off your back and swing it towards the stone. Godslayer stops right before it hits the stone.
No. Wow. So
what
bad
are you
right
doing?
Now.
And you're able to just like swing it a couple more times and it does exactly the same thing. Stops about a centimeter away.
Wow, there's Dupe cries a lot more than I planned.
Oh no.
Yeah. Dupe is gonna cry again.
Oh no. Galena will hug him.
Whoa. Don't touch me.
Oh, what? Rude.
Not what Dupe wants right now.
Oh, I was just imagining him like hitting a hammer on something and then starting to cry and Galena hugging him and him just going, don't touch me.
Yeah, that's Dupe. He's a dick.
I imagine you just push her off of you slowly and then walk back out of the temple.
Yeah, well, Dupe isn't the type to ask for help, which leaves reckless actions.
I want you to save against heroism right now. Galena, make a persuasion and Dupe, make a wisdom save, as you very stubbornly want to not appear weak or ask for help.
Ha! I critical
critical succeeded. 25.
Oh no.
You're gonna be my friend.
Galena. I mean, actually, not Galena. Galena, you can be as terrible as you want. Amanda, be nice.
Okay.
Don't be nice.
I am being nice.
All right, so nice. Galena, what were you hoping to accomplish by casting heroism, because you accomplished it?
What I was hoping to accomplish is that he would not want to die, like, not be suicidal and want to die,
beyond
be a dead
changing
dupe.
The way someone feels at their core, what action were you hoping to elicit?
Maybe have him open up a little bit and open up to the possibility that he can have, like, family or something like family, even if it isn't, like, a blood brother. Be our friend.
What is the barest hint of healing process starting look like for Dupe?
Oh, man.
The slightest glimmer of hope.
I do not know.
So, what do you want from that scene where you talk to Moop?
Oh.
As Alex.
Wanted to see if he knew what the f*** was going on here with, like, the summoning or, like, protection-y spell, whatever the hell they're making around the city.
Okay. So, in this moment, you realize, with the heroism that she cast upon you and your attempt to reach out to him again through violence, which is the way you've communicated your entire life, and it fails, and you think back to the things he said, you realize that he isn't here to help you anymore. And, like, you knew that, but you never really accepted it or dealt with it. And now that you've seen that he's gone and dead, like, you've actually seen his spirit, not just a crumble of rocks that made him disappear into the darkness last time, like, that's hitting you. And now you know that you need to deal with this on your own. Like, you need to deal with this and life.
Right.
And those around you.
This is getting way heavy.
Sorry.
Oh, no apology needed.
I guess then Dupe would hug Galena. Like,
yay!
Very, very briefly.
She is very excited. And after, you know, like the image of Deadpool putting his hands next to his cheeks and he looks really happy and excited? That's basically the face that Galena's making, and she's, like, tapping from one foot to the next and going, yay, I got a hug.
I assume the moment she acts too excited about it, you push her away.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're my friend.
Not yet.
I'm better than Iria, that is to say something. I'm more tolerable than she is, you have to admit.
Anyone is better than Iria.
Oh.
Galena.
Ouch.
Like, nods slightly.
Other than maybe her cousin.
Well, Galena doesn't know Astraea, but Astraea's
all right.
Fine.
Let's keep it on this game. So you two share this moment right before Eden and Sariel return. Odette is holding Connor up and just sort of looks at you guys like, what is going on here? And Guise just politely looks away.
You don't want to know.
All right. Eden appears out of the sky, and very shortly afterwards, a squirrel scampers up and turns back into an elf.
Like they do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think we may have bought ourselves a little bit of time. Probably not much, but something.
That went just about as fast and as cleanly as possible.
What did you do?
Well, we managed to find a rune, and all we had to do was change a couple of little things, and now it represents something fairly harmless.
Awesome.
Let's
change more runes to fart.
You know, I would if there were a way to do that and do it quickly.
Freeze time.
If you were a higher level mage, you could totally do that.
Now we go talk to family? Family reunion time?
Yes, I need to use this opportunity to try to confront Quinn. If anyone wants to come, now's your chance to speak up, I suppose.
Yeah, let's,
don't
let's
all jump
go,
up at
yeah.
once.
Let's go do this.
Sounds good.
So are you guys just walking into the castle, or are you flying up there?
Well, I was planning on flying up there, which might make it harder for some people.
Well, you still have the ability to use a bunch of sorcery points to recover a fifth level spell slot and cast fly on three people.
I can turn one person into a bird.
And fly yourself.
E.
I kind of want to be a bird. Actually, I really want a bird.
Okay, so Galena can be a bird. The rest of us can fly.
What bird do I get to be?
What bird do you want to be?
Oh, man.
Sariel immediately regrets offering.
What's a good sea bird that's not lame? Seagulls are lame.
A pelican?
No.
You know what? I know a bird, but I don't know its name in English, so give me a minute.
A puffin?
What about a grebe?
Cormorant?
Oh, those are cool.
That would be cool.
Or an albatross.
A dodo.
Yes! I want to be a dodo.
You can't fly. Sorry.
Albatross would be about the size that Galena is currently. Wait, yeah, I'm going to look up grebe because those things No, they're freshwater. When I look up grebe, people also ask, are grebes ducks? Are grebes illegal to shoot? Can grebes walk on land? Yes, they can walk on land.
I found some weirdly inappropriate pictures when I looked up grebe.
Well, how did you spell it?
What have you been searching recently?
G-R-E-E-B?
Is that not how you spell it? G-R-E-B-E.
Oh, okay. Well, don't search what I searched.
What is it?
Just don't. It's a bad idea. What is the bird you were going for, Winter?
I think it's called a great frigate bird. Let me see if I can't remember how to get images. Here we go.
Oh, that thing. Those things are wild.
Can I be a puffin?
You could be a puffin.
Can puffins fly?
Yes. Not
in the Swan Princess they can.
Well, though.
You should definitely care. Turn her into what you were thinking about, because that's way better.
Yeah, great frigate birds are the birds that I would see flying overhead, and I'm like, why the f*** is there a pterodactyl up there? But,
They also have, the super big red poof on the front.
I think some of them do, yeah. Like, the image I linked doesn't...
I kind of want to be a puffin, because I feel like it fits her personality better, but it's also up to Sariel, because she's the one that's changing me.
I am not completely sure a puffin could fly up like a castle wall.
So it can be a fantasy puffin that can. Just okay. Describe what you turn Galena into.
I turn Galena into a bird that looks exactly like a puffin, but doesn't suck at flying.
He doesn't suck at flying in the Swan Princess.
Puffins can fly as fast as 55 miles per hour.
Yeah, like straight down.
Okay, so this is good. I'm not sure exactly how many sorcery points Eden needs to spend to get enough juice to make other people fly. You need to spend all of your sorcery points to get enough juice to make your party fly.
Wow.
Is that okay?
Yes, I hope this is worth it.
All right, so with this...
There they go. I was about to deduct them, but it looks like you did that for me.
I'm very sneaky. Dupe, Guige, and Eden... all lift off the ground. Odette, Lori, and Connor have to stay behind because you don't have enough magic to get them in the air.
What if Odette doesn't go for the merger?
Urge her.
Yes!
Love that movie.
Okay, anyway.
And Galena and Sariel turn into burbs. And you guys fly into the night towards the dark tower around the castle.
What kind of bird is Sariel? Sorry.
Oh gosh, what did I take? Wait, I honestly don't remember what kind of bird I can become.
Sariel can turn into a raven.
Raven, that's right.
Or a pygmy owl.
We're just like rolling up, like the crew is all flying up there, hair and clothes, being all dramatic, and then it's just like an awkward puffin and a raven.
Yes. I don't fly gracefully. I like flap.
We don't all need to storm to the top of the tower. I mean, y'all can hang back. And I can go in semi-alone.
So you guys, I assume, mushroom up before this.
Oh, crap. Yes, yeah, we need to do that.
Definitely.
Right. Everyone snort your drugs.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Did you know that puffins weigh about the same as a can of Coke?
What? Stop that. one last mechanical question. Sariel, did you turn into a raven or a pygmy owl?
Raven.
Okay. So the lot of you begin... heading towards the tower in the sky, high above the battlements where soldiers look vigilantly out, but don't look up, because why would they? And you see the arrow slits in the tower wide enough for a person to squeeze through. Dupe might have a little bit of trouble as he is the girthiest among you. But as you begin to fly forward, you see there are lights inside that room emanating through the windows. And as you are flying around, you see two figures inside, one laying down on a cot and the other sitting next to them. The one laying down under some blankets and the one sitting up, a vision of porcelain skin, three sharp horns, and cascading black hair around her shoulders is Kui, gently stroking a figure's head. What do you do?
Wait, the figure whose head she's stroking, what does that figure look like?
It's probably your brother, but he is all snaggled up under some blankets, and you guys are floating out into the darkness. Ooh. Invisible.
Ooh. Oh, no.
All right, well... Flapping
erratically.
Some of you more gracefully than others. I do want to know, because...
I hit the wall a couple of times.
Galena's been hitting some walls and some turrets on the way up, just bouncing from... back and forth between them. Those of you that are flying with the wind beneath you pushing you up, how are you flying? Are you flying gracefully or like Superman, or are you just like flailing upside down as the wind carries you around?
Well, I don't fly anything but gracefully.
Oh, of course.
I'm definitely all over the place. I've never done this before.
Dupe's just doing like straight cartwheels all the way up, just spinning.
Yeah.
Looking a little bit green.
Yeah,
a little. And Guige is trying to look cool, but I'm pretty sure a smile is creeping onto his face as he's putting one fist out and kind of supermanning around.
Oh, Guige.
All right. Tower's looking good. There's a lady sitting on a cot next to a sleeping figure.
All right. Well, as they once said in High School Musical, it's now or never. I'm going in. Can I fit through the window?
Yes. You can basically very delicately alight on the windowsill and then step down into the room like a cool lady.
Then I will do that.
As you do so, Kui looks up at you and smiles, just like completely unfazed by a woman stepping in through the window, and says, "Oh, it's such a pleasure to see you again." And that is where we'll cut for the evening.
Dun-dun-dun!
With that, our heroes fly an unsteady course to confront Kui after having covertly thrown a squirrel into her plans. But will she reveal the heart of this conspiracy? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes.
I am genuinely, I'm extremely amused by the thought of imagining Galena the Puffin bouncing around off of the walls, just flailing. As she tries to get up to the top of the tower.
The next episode opens with you standing there, Kui looking at you. There's like tension between these two graceful women. And then a puffin just collides into your head, flapping madly.
Well, of course, also like Dupe has to starfish by in the background.
Fully armored dwarf.
You see a raven land on the windowsill, like face wing palm. Just
I don't know them.
That's
yes,
not
you
me.
Do.
They are not. Involved.
I'm not gonna turn back into a dwarf for as long as possible.
Good. All right, guys. Thank you for playing this evening.
Our pleasure.
I can't wait for Mark to listen to this and just be screaming at me the whole time.
I am fulfilling one of my lifelong dreams. So
yes,
puffins kind of sound like how it's. They're like.
What?
I was listening to puffin noises. They sound very strange.
Oh, good. Very important. I'm glad we're on this.
Or what she was... Oh, sorry. Hang on.
I'm going to assume that was just Eve crashing through the window, like, into her face.
Wait, what happened? Did you get attacked by a hedgehog?
He's pooping. Sorry.
I didn't realize it was actually a thing.
I was carrying around a snake earlier today to let kids pet it, and it started pooping on me, and I had to run over a trash can. But then,
what does snake poop look like?
Bird poop.
Oh, yeah,
but much. Bigger.
That's a bummer.
Then like
sometimes wetter.
Yeah, but then it turned out she was just doing this thing where if she gets annoyed, she starts to like poop, but doesn't actually poop. So she just pooped a little on my hand, and then like didn't poop anymore. So I took her back to get Pep Kids more.
Offensive pooping.
Yeah. Don't we all do it?
Indeed.
Opposed to like... defensive pooping?
I think it's a similar line of pooping, but depending on whom.
The episode name, offensive pooping.
We'll find out.
Okay, what we were reduced to when Mark's not here.
Mark would be, oh, geez. Guys.